It's the Healthy Woman Show on WJR with Dr. Jonathan Zaidan and Ann Thomas in for Marie Osborne, presented by Women's Excellence.
It's something so many women live with every single day, and it's really something they don't have to live with. Dr. Zaidan, welcome back to WJR, and we're going to talk about pelvic pain today. I bet if you asked for a show of hands right now, many women would chime in on this one.
The thing is that it's not only pelvic pain in particular, it's more all the different variations of pelvic pain that people experience, many of which just feel like they have to live with those symptoms that they have.
And you're here to tell us you don't have to live with those symptoms. There's a way to diagnose them and get help for them. You're listening to the Healthy Woman Show here on WJR. We're hoping to answer some of those questions for you today. Stay with us.
You're listening to the Healthy Woman Show, highlighting weight loss management. For more information, visit womensexcellence.com.
We're talking about pelvic pain today here on the Healthy Woman Show on WJR. We're going to really dive deep into this topic. Dr. Zaidan, how many women do you think come to your office either with a mild case of pelvic pain or maybe a severe case? Is it a pretty common problem?
Well, I mean, it depends. You know, we talked, I think, in the show open about the variation of pelvic pain, and it really depends on what you're asking. But I think the real true answer to the question is almost every woman has pain in their menstrual cycle. The question is, what is abnormal pain? And what I get through to the patient is the pain is abnormal if it's something that you can't tolerate anymore or if it's interfering with your lifestyle. And I think so many times people say, well, my mom told me I'm going to get that. My sister has that too. If you're taking time out of your day because you're having pain, and you're not doing the things that you want to do because of the pain you're experiencing, it's too much pain. So the first, with all pain syndromes, whether it's back pain, knee pain, hip pain, whatever it is how do we define it, right? I mean, that's the quintessential part of medicine. How do we know who hurts more and who hurts less? And we know that from all different aspects of daily life, right? I mean, whether or not somebody has pain and they can't go to work, whether or not somebody has pain and they're in a lawsuit, whether or not somebody has pain and it's affecting how they function, both intimately or with other people. So how do we deal with defining pelvic pain? That's the first thing. And my definition, and I think the definition of a responsible gynecologist, is to say, if it's interfering with your lifestyle again, it's too much pain.
Isn't it the old adage that if pain is your body's way of telling you there's something wrong?
Absolutely. And you know, the real answer to your question now, to kind of circle back, is about 70% of the time. 70% of the people come into the office tell me something about pain. And I would tell you, probably 50% of those are people that really have things that we need to deal with. And the other 50% are, well, you know, since I'm here, I just want to tell you that, you know, 3 days ago, I had a twinge on my right ovary, but it's kind of going away now, and I don't think it's a problem. Those aren't the things that we're worried about. Now, I do happen, in my own personal practice, do a lot of pelvic pain. So there's times where I'll see 6 or 7 patients in a row, and my medical assistants will say, wow, there's a lot of things going on today. But, you know, in an average gynecologist's office, it's probably 30% of people.
How do you handle pelvic pain at Women's Excellence? I know you have a certain approach to dealing with your patients on this topic.
I think that, you know, the approach to all problems in medicine is, you know, first information gathering and then, you know, objective data finding, right? And then ultimately making some, you know, decision-making points. And pelvic pain is clearly along that line. You have to get a comprehensive history. If you don't have enough data from the patient, how are you going to know where to go with a workup? The human body's complex, right? The female reproductive system, super complex. And so we need to know, what are your actual symptoms? So the first thing is a talk, you know, and sometimes that talk is 5 minutes because it's so clear cut. And sometimes that talk can be 30 minutes. But nonetheless, you want to know all the things that have gone on, because we know that pelvic pain could be caused by a myriad of things, right? It could be from a previous surgery where you have some scar tissue. It could be because the pelvic organs are relaxing. It could be because of your bladder. It could be because of the rectal wall and bowel movements. It could be from a uterine tumor. There's so many things. And so what we need to do is get a really comprehensive history from the patient. Have them tell us in their words what's going on. And then after that, then we examine the patient, and then we get imaging for the patient, so things like, you know, ultrasounds and CT scans if needed, and then ultimately getting hormonal evaluations. We want to know, where are they at with their hormones? Maybe their hormones can give us a peek or, a little bit of a chime in on exactly what's going on just by those levels alone. So once we get all those studies, then we start to really delve into other specialized testing to find out what's really wrong.
Now, I understand from your staff that one of the things that they pride themselves in is getting people in, getting patients in quickly when they call, they want to make an appointment, and then they express that there's some issue with pain.
Well, I mean, it's like I tell my staff all the time, you know, we do a specialty business, and that business is taking care of women. And when somebody has a problem, you don't want to wait for a month. You want to get in as soon as you can. And you know, so many times, you know, people have been dealing with their problem for 6 months, but there's a reason that they've decided to call now. And so what we try to do is get them in as soon as possible, and then we can always, you know, get their workup done, you know, in a more convenient fashion. And sometimes people that are demanding, you know, even to be seen because they're in so much pain, you know, when I actually see them and talk to them, they feel like, oh, I've come to a place where they're going to help me. And then they say, well, you know what, I can't get in for my ultrasound tomorrow. I can't actually get in for 2 weeks. But they have some peace of mind. Because remember, we are people. And people are about emotion. And everybody talks about all the things about how we have to automate and we have to have computers and we have telephones that answer the phone for us and these auto attendants and all the things that we all get frustrated by. And the reason we get frustrated by all those things is because we're people, we're emotional, and we want to have answers for the things that are bothering the most when they're bothering us. And so I think that the best thing to do when we have people with pelvic pain is to get them in fast, identify their problem, and determine, is this something that we need to act on right now? Is it severe? Is it urgent? Is it something that could really harm them? And then the next step would be, you know, okay, if it's not that, and we don't need to take them to surgery right away, or we don't need to initiate therapy right away, well, then let's figure out the problem and address it in the most comprehensive way possible.
When we come back here on the Healthy Woman Show, we're going to take a closer look at this comprehensive history that Dr. Zaden talks about. What will that entail? We'll want a detailed physical examination. What does that mean? The Healthy Woman Show continues here on WJR. Dr. Zaden, it's always the best part of the show. As much as we love you and love having you on the show, it's when you bring your patients to the show that we are so enlightened by the process that they go through, by the kind of care they get at Women's Excellence, and we're happy to welcome Talon to the show today. Hi, Talon.
Hi.
Well, I have to tell you, Marie, yesterday, you know, as we were preparing for the show, we saw Talon in the office, and she said something that resonated with me, and that was that she said, I tell my friends about what goes on and how you can help them, and then also there was something pretty gratifying for me in that my receptionist was actually holding her baby. So I think this story is going to be very interesting to you. So I'll let you and Talon talk it through a little bit here.
And Talon, this is really a remarkable story, and I'm so thrilled that you've agreed to tell our listeners about this. And of course, Dr. Zaden's here alongside. Talon, tell us what brought you to Women's Excellence and why you even went to see Dr. Zaden to begin with.
Well, originally, I was told at age 26 that I had to have a hysterectomy due to my endometriosis. And that wasn't going to be an option for us. I was in a new relationship that I was pretty sure I was going to end up marrying the guy. And ended up being the case. And we both wanted another child. I have a 6-year-old son. And so I started doing research online and found Dr. Zaden. And actually, Dr. Zaden treats several family members as well. And they all had great things to say about him. So I decided to take the chance and went and seen him and was so very thankful. My husband and I both enjoyed sitting down and talking to him, and his bedside manners have always made us feel welcomed.
Talon, tell us a little bit about the process that you went through. First of all, I can't imagine at the age of 26 being told, sorry, your reproductive years are over and that's all we can do for you. I can't imagine how devastating that must have been for you. But tell me, what was the process like when you went to the office? What kind of testing did you do? What was the whole process of getting the health history? Tell us about that.
Marie, too, you know, Talon does, you know, she's part of the health provider network. Okay, so she's a little bit knowledgeable about, you know, how healthcare goes. So you have to remember that, you know, the physicians and the healthcare providers that were treating her, I probably understood that much as I did. So she was an educated consumer, right, of healthcare. There are many people that aren't as educated as Talon is. So, you know, I mean, you know, it'll be interesting to hear your take on how we did, Talon, in the beginning. But, you know, I think people need to know that, you know, you actually understand healthcare a lot more than the average person, and they still recommended a hysterectomy.
So, right. So tell us how this process started.
So I had my initial visit with Dr. Zayden, and he automatically did a ultrasound and then a urodynamics test to see where my anatomy and everything was. And then after having those tests done, we had another appointment, and that appointment we set up surgery. We had surgery right away, and then I did 6 months of hormone treatments with the Zoladex, and then had another surgery so that we could prepare to try and get pregnant. Everything was very quick, and he didn't, you know, just push everything aside, and he really listened to what we had to say and what we wanted, and allowed us to put forth what we wanted in treatment, not just, well, this is what we're going to do, and this is how it's going to be, like my other doctor was doing.
So our goal when we were treating Talon, Marie, was really a function of, I mean, here we have this young lady, and she had already, you know, been through getting a diagnosis and a potential option for treatment. And so, you know, as a healthcare provider, we're put in a different position when we're in that position than if we're evaluating someone from scratch. Yet we have to do it the same way. So what we chose to do was, you know, identify her pelvic anatomy again, where there were some bladder issues that she exhibited. So I wanted to make sure what her bladder function was and so on and so forth, because there's some bladder symptomatology that can contribute to pain as well. And then, you know, and then move along, because her option really was not fertility sparing. And so we decided that, you know, we would, you know, immediately go and take a look laparoscopically and find out really what was there. So that was kind of that segment of her care. And then after her first laparoscopy, we identified that she had some what we call estrogen-dependent diseases in the form of endometriosis. And then we treated that, hormonally suppressed it so that it was more applicable to an excision-type therapy. And that's how we ultimately did robotic excision of her estrogen-dependent disease, and that's where we left it. And we left her, you know, feeling better than she was before, and then also with the option to have children. And then I'll let you take it from there, Talon.
So wait, let me just ask this. The surgeries then had to do with the endometriosis, because I was just going to ask for that question to be clarified.
Correct.
A bit. So that was to deal with that particular issue.
Absolutely.
So basically, Talon, okay, it sounds to me, I'm the novice here. It sounds to me like you were just being prepared for the fact that you wanted to have children, and mm-hmm. and that's what you were getting set up for.
Yep. Like I said, I have a 6-year-old son, and I had no issues with getting pregnant with him, but with how much pain I was in, it was affecting my daily lifestyle, and with being a paramedic and being in pain all the time, it really put a damper on how I did things. You know, I almost passed out several times while lifting patients because of adhesions ripping and tearing, and just it wasn't a good life and a good quality of life. So not only was it to prepare myself to have another baby, but it was also to make my life better so that I wasn't depressed and down all the time, because I always felt terrible.
How ironic. Here you are in the business of making other people feel good, and you yourself felt so poorly when you were trying to help others.
Yep.
Yeah. You know, Dr. Zayden, also something that Talon says to me that kind of sticks in my mind is how much you take in consideration the goal of the patient, because she mentioned several times, my husband and I, my goal was, and you trying to deal or use that as part of your treatment plan. You need to find the goal for this patient.
You know, that we talked about this earlier. You know, nowadays, everything wants to be automated. And I say this in the office so much. You know, it's not by random chance that the healthcare industry, which represents somewhere between 33% and 38% of the GDP of all the dollars spent in the United States, is the last to really be computer automated. Yeah. And the reason is right, because you can have all these algorithms, but the algorithms have to coincide with the patient's ultimate goal, right? I mean, our goal is quality of life. You heard Talon say that. We didn't infuse quality of life into Talon's vocabulary. She told us that. People, they want to have, maybe they want fertility. Maybe they don't want fertility. That may change our treatment option. So, you know, the doctors that she was seeing or the providers that she was seeing before that recommended hysterectomy may have been fine if her goal wasn't to, you know, still proliferate her family. So treatment goals are number one. I mean, you have to understand that. And that's all about getting that comprehensive history. If you don't get a history of a patient and listen, then you're not going to hear what we're hearing in the background, which is a baby. That's what we wanted in the first place, right? We didn't, our goal was to get her to the point where she could still have the option to have a baby. Right? We can't necessarily guarantee babies, or we can't do all those things. But what we can do is we can get you to the point so that you can, you know, you're set up for success. I always say that to my children. I'm like, it's my job to set you up for success. Then after that, you know, you got to take it from there. I can't throw the pass for you. I can't take the test for you. I can just make sure that you've had all the things that prepare you for those things to do. And that's what I'm doing for patients, honestly. That's how I feel that we should all be treated. That's what I want when people treat me.
Absolutely. And Talon, we can hear the baby. I hope our listeners can hear that sweet cooing as well, because it's a nice little soundtrack to our interview today, I think. So, Talon, how do you feel today, and where are you in your healthcare today?
Yesterday's appointment was to set up potentially having another baby, so what I needed to do to keep the endometriosis from coming back full force.
Talon, we said we were going to do that in about 2 years, right?
Yep, 2 to 3 years. I'm actually getting ready to go through the nursing program. So my husband and I are both paramedics, and have the thought of having three kids and the fact that I have rough pregnancies, I had to be taken off of work, actually, with Eli, because I actually got punched in the belly by a patient. So just financially, it wouldn't be ideal to have three kids on paramedic wages.
So
we wanted to prolong having another baby.
But Dr. Zayden, again, your patient kind of laying out her time frame and saying, this is kind of where I want to go. Can we do this?
Well, this is another facet of Talon's care. I mean, you know, what a great, you know, ability to have her on today, because, I mean, part of this is not, so now we've gotten through that initial phase where we, you know, eradicated the endometriosis, but let's face it, an object in motion stays in motion until some equal and opposite force acts upon it. So she got endometriosis before, and if we do nothing for her, there's a chance that she may get endometriosis again. And the difference now is that Talon is getting older, right? So, you know, the fertility window declines as we get older. So I have to look at all of those factors when I'm treating her. So, you know, one of the things that we're going to provide for her is some hormonal suppression in this time period while she goes in and completes her nursing degree. And I'd like to call this, I was going to say this is a twofer, you know, so like, you know, from an endometriosis perspective, right? So we had, you know, we got one baby out of it and we're going for two, right? But it's really a threefer. Because if you think about it, not only are we trying to have, you know, two children after, you know, a hysterectomy was recommended, but also she's now doing what I don't think she might have been able to do, and that is complete a nursing program if she was in so much pain from endometriosis. So if you think about the watershed event from, you know, being able to treat her, I mean, this is why I go to work every day. This is why I'm here at WJR to do this show, is to, you know, to have, you know, the opportunity to make people like Talon, you know, proliferate their families and ultimately, you know, get what they want to get out of life.
Talon, it was such a pleasure to talk with you today, and much success in your future. It sounds like you're a woman with a plan, and we wish you nothing but good luck.
Talon, I can't thank you enough for giving us the opportunity to treat you. And I can't thank you enough to share your experience with people on the radio today, because I think so many people don't understand, you know, how critical the decisions they make in healthcare, and that there are second opinions and there are different ways of treating different things. And the gold standard isn't just because one person said it. And, you know, I mean, your story really resonates with me from that perspective and the outcome, obviously. So thank you so much for today.
Have a great day, Talon. And we'll continue here on The Healthy Woman Show on WJR. Many women who have pelvic pain will just deal with the pain because that's what they've been conditioned to do, Dr. Zaidan. And we just heard from one of your patients, Talon. She told a very remarkable story, 26 years old, faced with a hysterectomy and thought she should get a second opinion, and how lucky that she did that and came to you as she was holding her baby and talking to us for her interview. Again, she put up with a lot of pain trying to do her job, and when it became enough, that's when she decided to act on it.
I'm proud of the outcome that she got. I mean, I think that, you know, it's really a feather in our cap at Women's Excellence, because that's a team approach. You heard her. She had a bladder workup. There was a little bit more even than neurodynamics. She had ultrasound. That's part of our ultrasound techs, right? And she had medical assistants and people that scheduled her and all that. It's a team approach when you do pelvic pain. And if we look at the outcome that we got, and then the backstory there is that, you know, Talon, you know, my medical receptionists want to see the baby every time that she comes into the medical building, even if it's not for us, because she sees us in a multi-specialty medical building where her pediatrician and her primary cares are there in the building. And then she wants to actually come up. They want her to come up and show the baby. I mean, that's a comprehensive approach. And that's exactly what I set out for way back when we decided to, you know, make Women's Excellence a bigger entity. And I'm really proud of what we did with her. But I mean, I think the biggest step here is that we do it in a stepwise fashion. But Talon didn't really know that, right? So she didn't know that, you know, we were putting her through a stepwise fashion, because the stepwise fashion was tailored and customized to her. But it was still a progression, right? It was a progression of listening, first taking a history. And then we, you know, examined her and identified, you know, what we thought, right, by exam was going on. And then we got the appropriate tests, imaging, bladder tests, so on and so forth. We got laboratory analysis on her. We did all those things in a very stepwise fashion. And then we decided statistically, you know, I don't think this is coming from the bowel. So I don't think we need to work up the bowel. If we would have decided statistically based on her symptoms that she was having, you know, bleeding, you know, from the rectum or something like that, we may have chosen a different path. So it was a customized path for Talon. And it was that customized path that ultimately allowed her to have her final goal and outcome, which was a baby, because we customized that path. Hysterectomy could have been along that pathway, but it was customized away from hysterectomy because of her goals and her family goals. And you heard, you know, she was in a relationship, right, that she felt like she wanted to have a baby. That could have altered her relationship. These are the things that you don't even understand. The fact that she's going to go to nursing school, that could have been altered. So all of those things are very important. But the thing that is the most important, Marie, is that we evaluate in a stepwise fashion, and it makes sense, and it's clinically sound, and we ultimately come to a real diagnosis. We've said this on this show many, many times before, and this goes to all people in all different forms of medicine. The first thing you need to get is a roadmap.
I know you've used that analogy before. It's one of my favorites, because you said if you need to get from here to Florida, that's great, but you need what? A map to get there, right? You need somehow to know where you're going.
I would bet you, I'm going to say it right on the show. How many people have actually went out? I wish I could see a show of hands, right? We can't see that. You know, we can do everything else wirelessly. Why can't we see a show of hands wirelessly? But how many people out there in your car, at home, listening to our podcast, okay, have gone to a doctor and left the doctor's office and not known why they did what they did, because they've either done it before and not figured out the problem, or it doesn't even pertain to the symptoms that they have because it's not a customized, stepwise approach to treatment, and they don't really even have a true diagnosis yet. They're just ordering tests.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, it's very important that you come up with that roadmap. And, you know, Talon is a perfect example of that. But for all pelvic pain, the roadmap is paramount to getting to the answer. Now, once you get the roadmap, then there's multitudes of treatments. And, you know, the first for pelvic pain typically is, you know, evaluation with direct visualization. We have a tendency to look in the bladder, look in the uterus, and look in the pelvic cavity through the abdominal wall. That gives us a lot of options. And those procedures respectively are cystoscopy, hysteroscopy, and laparoscopy. Once we have a good visualization of what's going on, we have a much better idea. And so, you know, much like architects, form equals function or function equals form, depending on how you look at it, right? We have to do the same thing. We have to find out, what does it look like architecturally? What are our boundaries? What can we do now to help the patient? So now once we get a diagnosis with those, you know, what we call scopes, so I call it in my mind panendoscopy, where I've looked bladder, rectum, uterus, and pelvic cavity. Once we've done all of those things as needed, then we go and we say, okay, here's our roadmap. Now we go along a pathway to treat. That's way too voluminous to talk about on a radio show. But the outcome of that roadmap is going to be determined based on the patient. For example, if we have a postmenopausal patient and she has prolapse and she's not sexually active, well, we don't have to worry about, you know, uterine preservation, vaginal length preservation, all those things. We may do a simple procedure to control all of her symptoms, but she's not going to be sexually active afterwards. But in her case, it didn't matter, right? And then there's other people where we're doing the exact same procedure or the exact same set of symptoms, but the one difference is they want to remain sexually active, and we have to do an entirely different myriad of treatment approaches to get to them to that outcome. And so the biggest thing that we're doing when we're doing pelvic pain is figuring out, where do we want to be at the end? And obviously, pain-free is only one aspect.
That is very interesting. So that the pain-free is only one aspect. Early on, you mentioned that we talked about some women will come in and say, oh, you know, my mom had a lot of pain. My sister had a lot of pain. So here I have a lot of pain, and I just accepted that. How much of this is hereditary? Is there a link there?
I got an email from somebody in our company the other day, and it said, that's the $64,000 question.
Ah.
And I thought to myself, I think that might have been a game show. I'm not sure. But the truth is that that's what you just asked, is another $64,000 question. So we're at $128,000 of questions that we can't answer. I mean, we don't know, you know, pelvic pain can be from a myriad of causes. So, you know, right off the top of my head, and I kind of elucidated this earlier, if somebody had previous C-section, pelvic surgery, ectopic pregnancy, you know, surgical intervention for a uterine tumor, they could have scar tissue. That could be all of their pain. We could go in, cut the scar tissue, it could be done. That's not hereditary in itself. But the fact that they form scar tissue might be hereditary, right? So the question is difficult because, you know, maybe the average person doesn't form that much scar tissue, but all the people in her family do.
Ah, there you go. Mm-hmm.
The problem is, today, we have all these genetic tests. Everybody's bombarded right now with seeing some advertisement for genetic testing. They certainly, anyone that's listening to this show that comes to Women's Excellence knows that we pride ourselves to be genetic testing specialists, right? But there's no genetic testing for pelvic pain. So, you know, there's associations, and maybe 25, 30 years from now, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, I mean, we've got quantum computing, we've got, you know, IBM Watson. I'm sure that there'll be different ways of looking at the genome and finding things. But at this particular time, all we can say is there's maybe hereditary associations. So if your mom had this, your sister had this, you may have it, but I can't prove to you with a genetic test.
Exactly. What about hormonal balance? What does that play into the treatment of people who come to you for pelvic pain?
Well, I think there's a whole theory about estrogen dominance causing things like endometriosis or adenomyosis and the proliferation of those diseases. So it's very important that we find out what somebody's doing with their hormones. That way we have a better idea on whether or not we're going to be able to treat them, you know, from a perspective of pelvic pain, from a hormonal perspective. It's hard to even tell you that. It's more, if we know what their hormones are doing, let's rephrase it so everybody can understand it. If we know what their hormones are doing, we know that if we control those hormone surges a little bit better, we may ultimately be able to have a better diagnostic approach to the patient. Because, for example, if they overproduce estrogen and we identify that and we decrease that production and they get better, well, they're more likely to have an estrogen-dependent disease, right? So it's even confusing for someone like myself who does this every day to actually verbalize that to you. But what we're looking for is those abnormalities.
And that is part of, the roadmap that you try to determine for people who come to you with pelvic pain.
For sure. One of the things that we had checked was a standard hormone panel. And, you know, the hormone panel was off. And then I checked a subsequent hormone panel on a patient. And I found that she ended up having a testosterone-secreting tumor that was also causing her pain. And so, you know, these are the things that you find, but you don't find them unless you put the processes in place. Again, that stepwise approach where, you know, in any stepwise process, right, you do a lot of things to find a few things. But if you don't find those things, you can go on a roadmap that's the wrong direction, right? For example, when your GPS tells you to get off at exit 137, it's one thing of 20 steps it takes you to get to Florida. But if you don't get off at 137,
you're
you keep going,
there.
Right?
Yeah.
You may go 500 miles out of your way, right? And it's very important as a doctor that we realize that, you know, if we don't check those hormone panels, right, we miss the testosterone-secreting tumor. A year goes by while we're still working it up, and we're 500 miles away now. We not only have to get back and figure out where we needed to go, but also we missed our vacation, or in that case, we might have missed the opportunity to treat her tumor.
And to get her to good health. You're listening to The Healthy Woman Show here on WJR with Dr. Jonathan Zaden. Stay with us. Welcome back to Women's Excellence with Dr. Jonathan Zaden alongside, and joining us is Jessica Rousset, who's the Patient Outreach Coordinator at Women's Excellence. So many changes coming to your offices, Jessica.
Yep, it's been a very busy year for us, and we've done a lot of patient-centered things, including expanding our website, adding new providers, adding new offices. So it's been very, very busy for us.
And start with the telemedicine rollout.
Well, telemedicine, right, is really the ultimate of what we want to do, and that is bring accessibility to specialty services to people in outreach areas and also in close areas. For example, I mean, Metro Detroit, you know, this month had this crazy snowstorm, and people that were plowing, that are scheduled to plow, weren't even prepared to plow, right? And if you could still do your visit via telemedicine, right, from your home where it was warm, you would decrease your risk of getting in a car accident and all these other things. And telemedicine is going to be, I think, so important to healthcare in the future. I really believe it is probably the most exciting new thing that we're going to do. And I'm not talking about teledoc. I mean, Jessica, you and I talked about that a few weeks ago.
All right, so what's the difference, you two?
Yeah.
You know, these are actual virtual care visits, and we are not about wasting your time. We want to make healthcare efficient for our patients. And we know that when you have a problem, you have to come in the office, you're going to have to wait in the waiting room, see someone, and there's going to be tests involved. There's a progression. We talked about the roadmap. You got to start at step one, and you got to hit all your dots. So we want to do these virtual visits where we can start the roadmap early, and even same day if possible. If you're having a problem, contact us, and we can probably get you in a virtual care visit with our team, and we can start that roadmap early instead of you having to wait a few days or even, you know, a week to get in.
And we've looked at this, our administrative team looked at this in much more detail. And we decided that, you know, it's not a telemedicine visit. It's a virtual care visit. And you just kind of put that out there. So it's really virtual specialty care. And so, and the reason that we said that is because, you know, now the stigma is, okay, you can get telehealth with your insurance company, but the telehealth people with your insurance company, and I give them all the credit in the world, are good for strep throat, and they might be good for a common UTI, but in many cases, they're going to refer you back to your doctor anywhere. They're just going to expedite treatment and keep you out of the emergency room. That's their role. What we're looking to do is be your doctor in a very convenient way and still be comprehensive and still give all the service that you can, you know, that you deserve and we can provide with multiple locations that may or may not be close to you. For example, if you live in Bad Axe, Michigan, Lapeer office is about an hour and 15 minutes away. But that's close. If you can get to specialty care in Lapeer, that's close to you. Right? If you live in Royal Oak and you want to come to us, you can come to us 2 minutes away. Right?
Right.
And so, and the same with West Bloomfield, and the same with Clarkston, and the same with Lake Orion. But there's outlying areas that we can talk to and get a location close to them. So we feel like, you know, with specialty care, especially things like what we talked about earlier, pelvic pain, endometriosis, bladder control, prolapse, things like that. I mean, people need that care pattern. And if we can provide that and start the process early by not making them travel 3 hours to do that initial consult, I mean, we've done something great. So that's the whole telemedicine thing. So, you know, it's really, what's the name?
Virtual care, specialized virtual care.
Specialized virtual care. So it's not, you know, it's not teledoc, it's not telehealth. And that's plan, you know, that's plan on what we plan on rolling it out to our patients. And then the other things that we're doing at Women's Excellence is, I mean, we just, tell us more about bone density now. So we roll, increase the hours?
Yep, we increased hours for bone density visits. On, you know, we have evening slots available now too. And, you know, we're all about preventative care. And, you know, it's a very important test for women. And we've extended those hours to make it more convenient for you, and you don't need to use your PTO. If you need an evening slot, we got them.
We're thinking about different time slots for mammography. We were very successful in October. We filled all of our Saturday spots
right.
for Breast Cancer
yep.
Awareness Month, and we're thinking about expanding that even more now moving forward. And then the other thing is our live chat. I you know, this is one of those things, you know, after you've been doing something for a while and you're familiar with it, it becomes, you know, out of sight, out of mind. But I am so proud of that, because what we're doing now is, people tell me all the time in the office, oh, I just got on the online chat.
Yep.
I've had people I've had people say, oh, I told your patient in the waiting room, just contact them with the online chat because they'll get back with you right away. And so, you know, what we've done is we changed a little bit of how people have the option to communicate with us in ways that they want to communicate. Because it's always been my thoughts, and I think Jessica knows this from all the talk that we do back and forth, is that, you know, as doctors, every person, but doctors especially, because we're so busy, we want everything to revolve around us. But that's not how the world works. Everybody wants that. And we're catering to them. We're catering to those women out there that want the world to revolve around them. And what we're trying to do is change the way we function. Now, that's a big leap, because people that are used to picking up the phone and just talking to somebody in the doctor's office, right? In almost any doctor's office, it's really hard to do that now, right? But then also, if you change that model, people are like, oh, well, I'm not sure if I want to go there. They're not, you know, they're going to some weird model. But the truth of the matter is that the people that are using that model are now starting to tell their friends. And that's what I think we're really doing a great job with. And that's why I'm so glad, Jessica, you're here with us today, because, you know, you've been really instrumental in doing that. What are our numbers on live chat? I mean, just give us roundabouts.
Yeah, it's been a couple years since we implemented it, and it's the coolest thing that we've done. You know, and it's so funny, you know, the first several months of it, you know, we'd have maybe 10 to 15 chats a day. We thought that was so good. Now we get 100, 120 chats
a day.
Wow. Yep.
Thank you, both of you, for joining us today. Jessica Rousset, who's the Patient Outreach Coordinator at Women's Excellence. Dr. Jonathan Zaden, always a pleasure talking about your patient-centered care. We appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. I appreciate being here.
See you again next time.
The Healthy Woman Show has been presented by Women's Excellence.